happy if you want to be free, if you want the life of your dreams. This is your place,
World Internet Summit.
It's your space,
so take something from it.
It's your dreams can come true. This is your life, the whole world is waiting for you. This is your time, it's your life,
so make something of it.
It's your dream, the answer's in you. This is your life, the whole world is waiting for you. Oh, this is your time, it's your life,
so make something of it.
It's your dream, the answer's in you. This is your life, the whole world is waiting for you. Waiting for you.
World Internet Summit.
The time is now.
Of course, we all know we're here, of course, celebrating the World Internet Summit, but we're here talking about Think and Grow Rich, the principles and the aspects of it. Well, of course, you know, now rewriting it, but you know what? It never occurred to me, even though I've signed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other books. Ross Fletcher came up to me tonight, the very first time ever, and said, would you sign my copy of Think and Grow Rich? Let's give Ross a hand.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ross. And then before I actually get wound up, get going, I'd like to tell you this. Folks, I almost feel like Chris Bleuer. But, yeah, and I can't fake a tear either. No offense. But actually, the Aussie hospitality has been stupendous. And it really does make me so happy that I get sad and feel like crying. That's just staggering. So let's give yourselves a hand. Let's go. Right, and then you should have, because I want to raise your hands if you don't, two handouts. Does everybody have them? Okay, very good. Now, this is a work-along session. Pull out a pen. Everybody make sure you got a pen or a pencil. And it doesn't have anything to do with me being an ex-school teacher. Why am I here? I'm not here for me. Who am I here for? Yes. Two important things. We're gonna cover the formula. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about a certain ones of the 13 fortunate principles to genuine riches. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look over them. You're going to be getting ideas. You're going to be designing your future for the future. And this is your opportunity to actually make something, what is that? Principle number 7, I already told you, was it decision? We're going to be talking about these principles. We're not going to go linearly. Of course, the book, you know, because it's printed, it has to be a linear book, but it's not a linear book. And I want you to make sure that you are making notes, because nobody's going to see this stuff but you, right? But who do we want? Who's this for? Right, right. So if you'll jump in and play, we'll be better off. Here we are, folks. We're celebrating, actually, the conclusion of the inaugural World Internet Summit. Now, we want you to come with us. We've already told you we want you to come back to Oz next year. We've already invited you to Nashville, USA, because we, of course, are going to be bringing a group of Oz's over. What good timing. All right, Mike. So what have we done here? Well, first off, we brought together a group of international speakers. You know, Singapore, we've got Canada, Philippines, China, India, even the Kiwis. Not to mention the Aussies and the Americans. And the Mauritians. Thank you. And so here's the whole story to start off with. We're celebrating. Is that not true? I mean, if anybody needs a drink, raise your hand. We got people to bring it to you. We're celebrating, and you should celebrate. I mean, does this environment make us feel prosperous? Does it feel good? Yeah. And we've concluded what we've talked about, and I'll tell you what, every single speaker, every single person in the audience who is going to be coming on the stage next year, and all you have to do is have some measurable success, right? We're not talking, you don't have to be so fortunate as to earn $2 million to get on the stage next year. But, by the way, if it was possible to earn $2 million, would you like to? Okay? Well, good news is it's very possible. Now, again, I'm not promising you you'll earn $2 million over the next 12 months, but I'll tell you this. I literally, and this is a personal thing, there's no liability, you know, and I throw all the disclaimers that apply. But I'm telling you that if, and you know this, if you get on the Internet with a passion, is it not well within your reach to become a millionaire or a multimillionaire? Is it? Great. Do you think it'll happen like the lotto? Okay. Do you think the government is going to help you do this? They will give you good tax breaks, that's for sure. It's kind of ironic. But, you know, in New York recently, they had a big outrage amongst welfare recipients. Everybody knows what welfare is. I'm in the same. Yeah, okay. And basically what happened is that the postman, it was at the beginning of his route, was waking these people up at 7:30 in the morning. And couldn't you believe they had the audacity to bitch about it? To get their checks. Yeah. Their welfare checks. Which, by the way, is a welfare check enough to live on anyway? So we could sweep that out of the way. We are here. We are entrepreneurs. Is that not right? Every single one of us is an entrepreneur. Now, by definition, an entrepreneur takes responsibility. For a definition, an entrepreneur knows that it is up to us, you, him, her. So fact is, you know, you've got it easy. So you should celebrate. The thing that makes this moment unique, and I'm not talking now, I'm moving away from the actual fact that we're here at the World Internet Summit, which I'm very grateful for, but I'm talking about being here at this point in time when the Internet is here, is that literally any one of us, and we're talking about from our home office. We're talking about if you like, you can rent an office for $600 a month. But, I mean, we can do this. Is it not phenomenal that we can actually do this from our homes and make an income that is multiples over what the fact that the people that are earning, that are going to work, and they're chained to that job, and they don't like it because they have to get up at 5:45 every morning, no matter how they feel. They have to get ready. They have to drive to work with traffic that they don't like, and they see the same doggone cars every single morning, which they'll see again in the evening. And they come home, and they get home at 6:30, and they have enough time to eat, and enough time to say, God bless the Queen. And then it starts all over again, right? We don't have to do it. We are so lucky. Now, here's the whole thing. Entrepreneurs, we've already settled the equation. It will never happen unless we make it happen. That's the message of Think and Grow Rich. That's the real start of it all. Chapter 1 is talking about the first important thing, which is desire. And that's, by the way, we've laid this out. Now, we're not going to go linearly, like I said, but we've laid this out. These are the chapters as they go through the desire. What are we talking about? Desire? Does everybody want to get rich? Does everybody want to get rich on the internet? Okay. Napoleon Hill asked a simple question. How bad do you want it? Real bad. Then you better step down to number 7. Make a decision. It's going to happen. Now, do you see the difference? We're not talking about making a decision. Or we're not talking about hoping it'll happen. We're not talking about some lucky people. We're talking about I am making a decision that it will happen. Now, what are we talking about then? If you make that decision, of course, you are involved in now chapter 2, faith. Faith. Now, I'm not talking about blind faith. I'm talking about this kind of faith. And by the way, I do happen to know that this is what happened to me, and I happen to know Armin Moore, and this is what happened to Armin Moore, and I happen to know Peter Sun's story. This is exactly what happened with Peter Sun, and I happen to know Mal Emery. I know this is what happened. I'm talking about the kind of faith that comes to the point that says, this is going to happen, with only one exception. And that is that I die before it happens. None of us can control when we're going to die, unless it's suicide. Ruling that out, I mean, it's the incredible determination that it's the end of the road, it's going to happen. Now, you can, of course, have the faith that that'll happen. Why? Because so many others have done it, right? We're not talking about uncharted ground. Now, what we're talking about here, and again, we are here. Beautiful. Is this view beautiful or what? In fact, I'll share with you, it's the most beautiful view I've ever seen. Yahoo, Australia. Hoo-ah! World Internet Summit. So, what we're talking about, you know what Napoleon Hill talks about a lot of the times? He talks about stimulation of thought. That's exactly what he's talking about, stimulation of thought. We are in an environment, after the end of the event, after we've had this instruction, we've met people, we've made deals, we've made relationships, we've got business cards, we're going to be following up, we have an interest, we have new friendships, do we not? New friendships. Okay, we're here. I mean, we actually, open your mind, we're in the place. Now what we want to do is make sure this is like bottled water, right? We keep it going for us because we can. Now, we're going to be talking for a little bit. We're going to be talking about a secret. And I promise you, this secret will be mentioned a minimum of 7 times during this event. Maybe 12 times. And guess what? Never once will I directly name it. And the reason why is because who's responsible for our own success, each of us? Yes, you or me, you know. So why should I give it to you? Here's the whole story. I mean, this is the message. Nobody else can do it for you. You've got to do it. Will it be easy? Some said nope, some said maybe. And the answer is, it depends on your self, your passion, your efforts. And you can do it. So the answer is, if you are ready, don't worry. You've got it. Now, let me give you a quick preview of what we're going to do. Basically, here's the scenario. I'm going to be talking a little bit about some of the principles, Think and Grow Rich. And all the speakers in the crowd, make sure you're taking notes too, because I'm going to be asking after I finish my part that we each come up and we're going to have a mastermind. By the way, that's principle number 9. Remember I was talking today about numerology? 3 is a very important principle. Principle 3 of Napoleon Hill is autosuggestion. Now, that's important. I'll get on to that in a second. But 3 times 3 is 9. That's the mastermind. It's no coincidence. Now, how many people have told up or have stood up before you before and told you that Napoleon Hill arranged his book according to numerology? Anybody ever heard that before? Nine's a very powerful number. 3 times 3. So it's happening. So anyway, and then, of course, the most important thing, like I said, TED, speakers, most important thing is this formula. Because without this formula filled out, without you making decisions, and you can all read, it's not going to happen for you anyway. Go out down on the street, have a cigarette, have a beer down there, okay? Now, Napoleon Hill identified 13 principles. I'll tell you what, most of them actually seem commonplace. And, you know, you're thinking, well, what's this? I've heard this stuff before. You know, desire, decision, etc. Some of them are like way out there. I mean, we're talking now, and sometimes this marvels me. Think and Grow Rich is a business book. Is that not true? We're talking about things like auto-suggestion. Something to think about. Transmutation. I mean, one of the principles, was it number 11? Is the subconscious mind? Those are out there. I'll tell you what, it gets even funkier. Now, again, you understand I'm so grateful to be here in Australia. I do not know the culture as well as I know in America. But I know that in the U.S. of A., you got to be real careful when you mention things like prayer. You got to be real careful when you mention things like the creative intelligence. Anyway, real careful when you're talking about things like, at a certain level, we are all connected. And that what you do affects me. And that what you think can turn up as an idea or an action in the mind of somebody else. That's in this book. Now, I often shrug. I say, gosh, this book is the greatest classic, success classic that's ever been written. How can it possibly be that we can talk about things like that? Do you want to know my opinion? I think it's real simple, the fact that most people don't understand what it's talking about. I hope we do before it's all over. And so, but you know what my other opinion is? Subconscious, transmutation, creative intelligence. Well, what do you expect from a book that says you can think and grow rich? Isn't that crazy? That's a crazy idea, isn't it? At least, it probably was the first time we were exposed to it. I would venture to say that just simply by the fact that you are here, you have long since discovered, whether you've read this book or not, but you have long since discovered that it is in fact your thinking that determines your success. It's in fact every bit of it. Now, show of hands. How many people know a great guru, dominantly real estate guru from the U.S. called Ron LeGrand? How many people? Okay. See, that's probably less than 10% of the people. He definitely making millions. In fact, I've seen him earn a few hundred thousand in a single hour. And that would be amazing, except for the fact that I've seen him do it about 40 times. And he has done it, I know, about 1,000 times when I wasn't seeing him, right? Earns more in a single minute than he used to earn in a single year. But what's it all about? I mean, it's all about thinking. And so one time I heard him counseling with a guy, and the guy basically had a product that he was selling for like $297. And Ron was telling him, says, "Hey, Mike." Now, he didn't really say that. But he was saying, look, that product is worth $1,497. And then, of course, we had Jennings' famous butt factor, which that's like Armand's holy crap factor. I mean, these things live in infamy, right? The butt. And he says, well, here's how you get it, bud. He says, you got to wake up, you got to grab your own britches, stand up, and say, I am worth $1,497. And that was the whole story. Is that not think and grow rich? Because without that, we think, oh, there's so much competition, and my competitors are doing this and doing that. And believe me, that's not it. So, okay. So what is the secret about Think and Grow Rich? Basically, it's real simple. That thoughts have a tendency to manifest themselves in physical reality. Now, every one of us, at one point, something real simple, we thought we'd grow up and be an adult, right? We thought we'd like to grow up and, by the way, we may not have the education that we have now. I'd like to be an accountant. What do we become when we grow up? We become an accountant, right? Now, it works the other way around, too. And I'm borrowing from Dan Kennedy. How many people know Dan Kennedy? Good. The rest of you, write that name down. You should. He's got a lot of information for you. But he told an example on this line one time, and he talked about a criminal, and the guy was a child abuser. And, of course, like we all believe, and I'm sure Aussies, we're in sync on this, locked the guy up. That's it. That's it. Lock the guy up and shoot him. Because it could have been our child, right? But they interviewed this guy, and again, I'm not one who believes that we ought to interview these guys and give them their moment of fame. You know what I mean? Have them royalties on a book. That's not what I mean. But they interviewed him. And it was, how can you do such a heinous thing? I mean, we're talking about, I don't even want to say it. It's so horrible. And he said, well, it started with just an odd thought. And then that odd thought came up again. And then the next thing I knew, I was fantasizing about this. And then the next thing I knew, I was doing it. And 6 kids later, you know, here I am. Now, it works the same way in reverse. The other, and that's one of Napoleon Hill's processes. In fact, we've already mentioned responsibility, haven't we? If you don't positively make an effort to design the good things, the bad things will happen. Now, is that not true? Do you have to struggle to get into financial problems? On the other hand, unless you inherit money or happen to get it by the lotto, and by the way, does that happen very often? Okay. Are you going to wake up wealthy? Wealthy is a process. And so basically, Napoleon compares it to, and a lot of people haven't caught this yet, the title of his book is Think and, you got it, Think and Grow Rich. So here's the whole story. God created this world. And I can say this here, this is the themes of the book. It happens to be my beliefs, but that's a whole other story. But it's going to grow. Land, earth, water comes together. Something will grow. Unless, of course, you're in the Australian outback. Even there it grows, of course. So something will grow. Now, will you have a garden that provides the fruit that you desire by accident? If you don't do anything, what will you have? You will have weeds. So that means the whole, and of course, if you cultivate the garden, if you consciously decide, you know, you go get the e-books. By the way, someone in here certainly has got gardening or crops, you know, as an e-book. If you go find out what you need to do, what grows in your area, what can you do that will be productive, what can you do that will make you happy, that will contribute to your society. You can plant that. You can care for the plot of land. Is that not true? You can make it grow what you want. Think and grow rich. So the whole thing becomes, is our real process is a matter of finding out what kind of seeds we should plant, how we should nourish these seeds so that we get the fruit that we are desiring. Is that not true? By the way, does that sound far out there? I mean, does it? No. It's very logical in a crowd of entrepreneurs. I mean, it's no big deal. We understand this. So it's just, it really is. What kind of seeds do I plant? Now, of course, then the problem becomes is since it's not exactly a science because we're talking about human nature and psychology, is how do we know what kind of seeds to plant? Well, remember one of the major principles of success. In fact, at the conclusion of the World Internet Summit, I shared my secret, which was actually two. And one of them was, the first one was, go to the people who are really producing the kind of results you would like to produce. Those who will share with you, find out what they're doing, and model their success. So that's the secret. You find out what's going on, what they're doing, and you do it. Now, again, I've been amazed in the short period of time which I've been involved with Think and Grow Rich. I say that, by the way. I picked up my first copy when I was 21. I still have it, so I'm grateful for that. But some people, I've heard them, you know, and again, you know, public, I'm not necessarily talking about entrepreneurs. I'm not talking about us. But they'd say, well, gosh, that book is antiquated. It does have archaic language. I already shared with you, and one of the archaic things I think is identifying America as the land where you can do what you want and be free and opportunity is unlimited. And it talks about certain things. In fact, one irony, which is an irony of ironies. Whereas we today are so jazzed on the Internet, right? People are making fortunes, and they are. So you can do it, and they are. Napoleon Hill was echoing identically the same message in regards to radio. Now, do you see what I'm talking about, timeless principles? Does it matter that we're now talking about a different communication medium? Nah, same message. So the first secret, one of the components, is to recognize that it does apply to you. It does apply to us. Rest of the story, throw out, it does apply. Now, this is interesting, too. We're talking, and we've talked a lot about niche marketing. Is that not correct? Well, who does Think and Grow Rich apply to? We say, gee, well, that applies to everybody. Now, we're entrepreneurs, so we're thinking about it that way. But every single entrepreneur in this crowd has their own area of expertise. Is that not true? Their own passions, their own desires. I've talked to people with health this weekend. I've talked to people with working with children. We've talked to people that are doing software. We've talked to people who are doing internet marketing. We've talked to people who are doing food. We've talked to people who are doing, you name it, right? We could go on and on and on. The niche doesn't matter. The niche doesn't matter. But what niche are we talking about? Well, this is a niche that actually transcends the particular market niche. We're talking now about a character niche. So it applies. Take what you're getting. It can go there. Now, one of the best things I like about this also is it requires no hard work. Hoo-ah! Here's what Napoleon says. Now, again, remember, we're writing, talking about it. If you are one of those who believe that hard work and honesty, by the way, how many of us heard that hard work and honesty would be our path to riches? How many of us heard that? Show of hands. Okay. If you are one of those who believe that hard work and honesty alone will bring riches, perish the thought. It is not true. Riches, when they come in huge quantities, are never, never the result of hard work. Riches come, if they come at all, in response to definite demands based upon the application of definite principles and not by chance or luck. Look at this. In response to definite demands based upon the application of definite principles. That's what we're talking about tonight. What are those definite principles? It's not get rich quick. No way. In fact, and again, we're talking, this message doesn't conflict with anything you've heard. There is only one dependable method of accumulating riches. And that is, of course, rendering useful service. Why do you think you've heard so many times the most important thing you can do is to find a problem? Solve it. You got it. It does require, as you well know, initiative. Initiative. Now, does that mean you'll never have temporary setback? No. In fact, that's one thing I can guarantee you. You will have temporary setback. Guaranteed. Are you ready for that? Of course you are. You know why? Because you've already had so many temporary setbacks you can't even keep track of them. Case closed. So, what are we talking about? What does temporary defeat mean? What does a campaign that you mail out that makes you no money or that doesn't even pay your expenses, what does that mean? Something's not right. That's all it means. You know, now we've got to, of course, figure out what that is. It could be the product, it could be the market, it could be your pricing, it could be your offer, it could be the copy, all this stuff, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know, here's what we all realize. If literally over the course of the world, throughout the world, if hundreds of thousands of people are doing it, are you going to be so arrogant as to think that when you did it, it didn't work? Your market, different. Or for you, do you hear, see where I'm following? Now, of course, that's an easy cop-out, and that is what the majority of people would go for. But, of course, all it means is we need to adjust. By the way, just so that you know the truth, of course, you already know that I do Internet and mail order. Just so that you know the truth, I have spent thousands of dollars on a mailing and made zero money. What difference does it make? Now, it might make a big difference if you're just starting up. But other than that, once you get going, it's just testing. Of course, you've already got the secrets to go for it a little bit easier. Okay, another principle. I call it, there is a power greater than ourselves. And we are part of that self-same power. The other day, I was out by the river. Now, one of the things I like about Tennessee, in fact, this is the reason why I chose to live in Tennessee. When prosperity took off, I said, Dad, where? Of course, I wasn't thinking globally at that time. I was still U.S., you know. Where would you like to live? Because it doesn't matter anymore. You've got an Internet business. To me, I said, I would like to live in Tennessee because they have a lot of hills. The weather extremes are not extreme, but they're pronounced. They've got water. I mean, I came from Texas, and I saw that cactuses couldn't even survive in Tennessee. I said, Ted, let's go to Tennessee. Now, I'll tell you what, though. I was there at the river looking at that. And, of course, by the way, that's a whole other story, and we're going to go off of it. And I see a bunch of birds on the river, a bunch of them. Then all of a sudden, and I don't know what stimulated it, they take off. Now, I was blessed at that moment to see not 1,000 birds, but one other entity that was composed of 1,000 birds. One other entity that had 1,000 cells. Just as each of us is a composite of millions and millions of cells. Is that not true? And I saw that thing. It takes off. It does a flip over here. It goes over there. Now, what I'm saying and what Napoleon Hill is saying is that we are connected. And in fact, you know, we just may not have the proper vision to be able to see anything other than birds. We don't have binoculars. We don't have infrared vision. You know what I mean? But that's one body, and I'm telling you that we're connected too. And so, therefore, a real simple example that you all know, whenever Ted Siuba is ready to go to the world level, and whenever Brett McFaul is ready to help the Aussies, because it is difficult to travel across the big pond, we meet at an event with no formal planning. That's in chills down my spine. It is my personal belief that's true, and it is the message of Think and Grow Rich. But now, I do have to admit this. You don't have to understand some of these principles I'm talking about. Napoleon Hill himself says several times, unless you have long been a student of the mind, you may not understand this. On the other hand, remember what we were talking about. If you'll take a little faith, that's principle number two. If you'll move forward, you can in fact start getting results because you're doing the right things, even imperfectly, rather than doing the wrong things anymore. Another thing, the principles, they're broken out. You can read all 13. I don't need to go through it. That wouldn't serve us all. Because, by the way, you, of course, can get a free copy of Think and Grow Rich at freecopyofthinkandgrowrich.com. They're never applied in isolation. One of the most important things that Napoleon Hill talks about again and again is you must have your mastermind partners. He goes so far as to say that if you don't have mastermind partners, you don't have other people looking at your ideas, you don't have other people bouncing off what you ought to do, you don't have other people keeping you in check when you need to be checked, you don't have other people confirming you, that you cannot be successful. And he mentions all kinds of people, which we, of course, know. You know, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, etc. All these we think of as great industrialists, people that had a big organization. But what did they really have? They had other people. Nobody, I repeat, nobody can do it by yourself. So the first thing, if you haven't got significant other people in your life that you resonate with, what do you think you ought to do before you go home tomorrow? In fact, we've set it up. We've encouraged this. You should already have some business cards, phone numbers, and emails. Is that not correct? And, of course, you, if you didn't do that, you do know about worldinternetsummit.com/forum. Tune in. Now, it may take a couple of days. It's actually up there, but it may take a couple of days to get some action going. But, folks, you've got to have people who are on the same wavelength, who know what you're doing and where you're going. It cannot happen. I guarantee you. And Armin is a good example. I like to identify Armin. Everybody knows about the big seminar. Supposedly, Armin and I are competitors. Is that not true? We're the best of friends. I mean, he's here, right? He wouldn't have got here without an invitation. We got another event, you know, coming up in England. We got another event coming up in USA. He's there. I'm speaking at his events. Why do we do this? And by the way, not everybody understands this. We do. We do it because we make the pie larger. What I do helps Armin. What Armin does helps me. Now, some people have the old thinking, and quote unquote, we both have accumulated a few enemies. You know why they're enemies? It's because they chose to be. That's their thinking. That's their problem, not ours. So, get on. Another thing he talks about, and by the way, you ought to read this, talks about the Declaration of Independence. And it's a great story about how momentous it was. And by the way, you may not have heard this, but you know what they used to call America, the United States of America? They used to call it British America. Of course, we were under the crown just like you were, except we objected a little bit earlier because we had too much taxation. And you know what it was all about, by the way? Tea. The Boston Tea Party. And we got so upset that we adopted coffee instead of tea. But, you know, Napoleon tells this story, and it goes on about 4 or 5 pages. He talks about, hey, it's desire, decision, faith, mastermind, organized planning that makes it happen. I say, yeah, that's it. Now, there's another guy, Charles Garfield, talks about, hey, I could tell you the difference between winners and losers real easy. Winners. Think about it. Winners are obsessed with the rewards of success. Winners, when they imagine stuff, they imagine their ebook being a hit all over the world. They imagine that if they take $600 out of their wallet, that they're going to make back $25,000. They imagine that they're going to be back here next year in March, coming up on the stage, sharing their story. What do losers think about? Wow. If I take $600, that means I won't be able to make my mortgage payment. Or if I make my mortgage payment, I won't be able to buy Christmas gifts. Which, by the way, it's a very difficult thing for us to think about Christmas in the summer, but that's another story. But you know, you get people, it goes to, but, hey, if we're all thinking about what we can't do, what's in your mind? So it's a matter of think and grow rich. What we think manifests. What we think affects what we do. Real simple example. I already told you that Brett and Tom and I, we signed an agreement that we would pay that hotel, Swiss Hotel Sydney, $70,000. Now, how many of us think that there was a clause in the contract that said it's $70,000 if the event is successful? No. It was you pay us $70,000 no matter what, right? Did we take a risk? Did we have faith? Actually, you know what? Faith gets a whole lot easier after you've been experienced. You know, it's like Jesus, walk across the water, no problem, mate. Would you like to try that?
Me neither.
So I'll tell you what I'd like to do at this point. Of course, we could go on and on. I just really want to share a few inspirational things. And again, make notes, read the book, you've got a free copy, fill this, the formula out, that's the most important thing. But what I'd like to do, I'd like to invite all the speakers that are in the group for another mastermind to come forward, if you would, everybody who was a speaker, and let's just get some idea sharing, you know, like we've done with the panel sessions, the super teleconference. Here's your 2 minutes, 3 minutes of fame. And we'll go and see how it goes. And obviously, Mr. Armin Morin, who is not bashful, is the number one guy. Armin.
I'm a little mic shy, so. You know, I just want to tell you a story. It was 1996. It was actually March of 1996. And here's what happened. There was a knock on my door. The knock, well, when you hear the knock, it's not so funny. The knock was actually someone else coming to my door to take away my son and my son's mother. Why? Because I wasn't successful. You see? I wasn't successful. I had $1.76 to my name. Can you understand that? Does anyone ever feel that? It's not the best feeling in the world. Now, the thing is that I had a dream. Does anyone have a dream here? The dream was to become successful. You see, I had this vision since the time I was about 10 years old that I should be successful. Everything that I ever did told me that I should be in business. Everything that I ever did and anyone ever talked to told me you have a knack for business, but I had no background. I had no experience. No one ever told me that I can be successful in business. I had people that believed in me, but yet I had no experience, nobody to actually tell me that you can do this. You can succeed necessarily. So I only had a dream that was nothing. There was nothing else. I was working on a company. You guys might call it a telco company. It was a long-distance company. That's what we call it in the U.S. I had this dream with two partners that we were working on for several months. We had no money. I lived next door to my parents. The only way that I actually lived and survived was the fact that I lived next door to them. I could afford spaghetti. I could afford tuna fish, maybe, on a good day. But most of the time, I would actually just go next door, knock on the door, and obviously my mother would feed me. That was the way I survived. And it's no wonder why my son and his mother left. Now, let me tell you the other part to this story, though, because it gets better. Obviously, you can only get up from there. But what happened was this, was I started dreaming more. I started visualizing more. You know, Ted talked about several parts of this formula. You know, one of it is desire. You know, I had the desire to succeed. I had the faith. I had the faith that I knew that I could succeed. You see, deep down in your heart, if you know you can succeed, it makes the world a difference. You know, I mean, auto-suggestion, I did it all. I mean, I had the pieces on my mirror. I had it written in soap so I could see it every day that I would succeed. I wanted to make $1 million by the time I was 25. That was my goal when I was 10 years old, to make $1 million, to become a millionaire by the time I was 25. Specialized knowledge. I mean, I was starting a long-distance company. I knew nothing about long-distance. I mean, is that ridiculous? No, it's not ridiculous. Because, you know, there's a person that told me this one time, and some of you may have heard of him. His name was Dexter Yeager, and he said this: if the dream is big enough, the facts don't count. Think about that for a moment. If the dream truly is big enough, the facts don't count. I mean, imagination, we can all imagine being rich. The part is, can you actually feel being rich? Can you feel the money in your pocket? What would you do if you actually had this money in your pocket? I mean, can you make that a reality? I mean, what would you do? I mean, can you smell what it would be like on your own yacht in the middle of the harbor? Can you feel the texture in the couch that you would buy that's leather? Can you smell that new leather? Can you smell the inside of a Mercedes when you get into it? Can you see how shiny that BMW it is when you polish it? You know, one of my dreams was to have a Rolex watch, okay, something like this one here, okay, and drive a 740iL BMW, which is my dream car, which is in my garage at home right now. And that was the only two things that I wanted. Materialistic things, obviously, that is. But you can have all those things, but you have to feel it. You have to see it. You have to feel it so much that it is a reality. You see, one of the books that I bought a long time ago, which many people do call the modern Think and Grow Rich, is that it's a book called Total Self-Confidence. And the person's name is Dr. Robert Anthony. He actually lives here in Australia now. And Dr. Robert Anthony, I bought this book in about 1995. And he talks about the law of attraction. Okay, the law of attraction says this: once you create the thought in your mind, all of a sudden the physical reality of that starts moving towards that thought. It starts moving towards it at an ever-increasing pace. The closer you get towards that thought, all of a sudden, it faster it becomes a reality. So it starts moving closer and closer together, like a magnet. Can you understand that? It's like a magnet coming closer together. So the closer you get to the reality of it, the faster it comes. Let me give you an example. Okay. I did make $1 million. I wasn't 25 years old, though. I was 26. And I didn't make $1 million. I made $4 million that year. Now, is that what happened was, how long did it take me to make my first million? 26 years. How long did it take me to make my second million? About 2 weeks. How long did it take me to make my third million? Well, I don't know. I'm just guessing because I didn't really track that much. But I'd imagine probably about 2.5 weeks. It came at an ever-increasing pace. You see, you can get what you want out of the world. You can get what you ask for if you ask for it in the proper way. And that's what you need to do. You see, it's not just the technical. I talked about the technical aspect about this business, about being in business this weekend. I gave you many specifics on what you should do. But there's another aspect that I don't talk about, that I don't get a chance to talk about until I hog the mic like this. And that is this part, the mental aspect of building a business online or building a business in general. When you start talking about the mental process of building a business, all of a sudden things start to happen. You have to write it down. You know, most of you think, I'm going to use this word, which I've never used on a microphone before, that most of you think that writing a list of what you want is bullshit. There's a lot of you thinking that right now, that it's total crap. But you know what? It's not. Let me give you an example, another example. I was selling vacuum cleaners. A lot of you don't know this, but I sold vacuum cleaners. That was my technical background before becoming online. Is that a prestigious job? Did it prepare me for the internet? Probably not. It taught me a lot about people. But the fact is that when I sold the vacuum cleaners, you know, I made a list. I sold out, and you need to sell out, and I'm going to explain to you why in a moment. But I made a list of things that I want, and on that list was this. I wanted a new wardrobe because my clothes weren't the best in the world. I had a big old wide tie, and my shirts weren't that great, and everything else. And so I wrote down, I want a new wardrobe. The second thing I wrote down is I wanted a new place to live. I wanted a new apartment. The third thing I wrote down is I wanted a new car. Now, I wrote those down, but I wasn't very specific. The next week, within 7 days, actually about 5 days from the time I wrote that down, all of a sudden, my boss comes up to me, who's about my same size, and says, hey, you know, my wife just bought me a bunch of clothes. I've got this whole wardrobe that I'm throwing out. And would you like this? And of course, I said, yes, I'll take it. Why not? It was better than the clothes that I was wearing at the time. Okay, within the next 2 weeks, someone came up to me and says, I'm getting a new apartment and I need a roommate. Would you like to move in with me? Yeah, I'll move into you because it's a better apartment than I was living in at the time. Because at the time, I didn't have an apartment. I didn't have any place to live. See, this is what nobody knows. I didn't have any place to live. You ever watch that movie, Officer and a Gentleman? Anyone ever watch that? The most famous part of that movie is Mayo laying on the ground and talking to Louis Gossett Jr. saying, I have nowhere else to go. I truly had nowhere else to go. I was living with my boss on his couch. I had nowhere else to go. Do you see? But did I lose vision of where I wanted to be? No. If you asked me how things were going, I said they were great. And the point that I'm trying to make is that I still had that dream. I still had that. And when she asked me, it was a woman actually. We weren't, you know, I didn't have a relationship or anything. I wasn't that good. But I kept trying. But anyway, the point was never give up. But the point that I'm trying to make is that she asked me if to move in with her, which I did. We had a house and everything. And then the third thing is that I didn't have a car. I didn't have a car, and so someone offered me a car for $250. It was a Mercury Lynx, which is like a Ford Escort, for those of you that don't know what that is. And that Mercury Lynx was my car that I had, and I was so proud of that car because it was the only car I had at the time. So I had no choice but to be proud of that car, and I sold vacuum cleaners from that car. I mean, talk about a self-esteem. Do you think that I had a great self-esteem at that point in my life? Not necessarily. I didn't. But the point is, I was still trying to succeed. And you can still succeed. If you hold that thing out in front of you and you keep it a reality. You see, that's what Napoleon Hill's book is, Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow Rich is all about reality. I mean, imagination, organized plan, decision. I mean, I talked about decision during my talk, stating the fact that you had to make a decision as to what you are going to do with your life. It's a fact that people can make a decision if they understand that decision is the way that people create opportunities, that people enact on opportunities, that people take advantage of opportunities. They can make a decision very quickly to discover if the opportunity is right for them and immediately act on it. I mean, the mastermind principle, and you know, the mastermind principle, it means so much in my life. It's just amazing. You guys had the opportunity here to interact with, you know, people like Ted and Mel and Peterson and everybody else, Johan, and I mean, everybody. You know, you had a chance to talk with us one-on-one, to get into our minds, to find out exactly how we think. You know, and you're probably disappointed sometimes. But anyway, but no, seriously, I mean, we think just like you do, except we think on a slightly accelerated level. I mean, meaning this is that we've created the abilities to make decisions very quick. to look at it. When you look, saw the panel, I mean, look at the suggestions that were brought up on the panel this weekend. Those were the decisions that were made in the split second. We had 10 minutes to talk about how a person could turn around their business. And some people did in that 10 minutes. They turned around their business the next day. I mean, Linus was one of the people that I think is totally going to make a change in his business and bring it up to the next level. There's another thought, and I don't know if you talk about the sex transmutation part, but you can figure that one out for yourself. But the subconscious. Let's just talk about the subconscious mind, because this is truly one of the keys to succeed online. The subconscious mind, most of you don't know what it is. Everything that you do has to deal with the subconscious. You need to know how to sell to the subconscious mind. Do you know what I just did right there? I just planted the seed that you need to sell to the subconscious mind. I didn't ask you to sell to the subconscious mind. I told you you need to sell to the subconscious mind. You want to hand me that glass right there, please? I had no need for this glass right now. The point was is that I actually told him to bring me this glass right now. And see how I stated it? You want to hand me that glass right there, please. You see, if you use words like that in your ad copy, if you use words like that in your day, throughout the day when you're dealing with people, if you use words like that when you're dealing with people, you can subconsciously, I'm not going to say control people, but I'm going to say that you can actually get what you want out of life by knowing how the subconscious mind works. And subconsciously, if you know how to trick yourself into succeeding. I know how I work better than anybody else. I know what I need to do to succeed, and I will trick myself into doing things. You know, the brain itself is an amazing thing. I mean, you need to understand what turns you and what turns the tricks in your head to make you succeed. Some of you and some of us, myself personally, I'm inherently lazy. Let's face it. A lot of us are. We don't want to work necessarily hard. And Ted said that you don't necessarily have to work hard. And this is the one point I'll actually disagree with Ted on, is that you do have to work hard to a point, but you more importantly have to work smart. And if you work hard at working smart, you will succeed. You see, that's what it is. You see, if I could, and if any of us could simply pass just a small portion of what we learned over the many years that we've been marketing and being in a business online, we would. But the point is, we can't. We can tell you, we can lead you, we can give you ideas, and hopefully you will do one thing, and it's the one thing alone. And I would say this, and if there's one piece of advice I could give to everybody here, and that is sell out. Sell out. Okay, and what I mean by sell out is this. Sell out means forget. Take your ego out of the equation. Do not think that you know everything. Whatever you learned in the previous part of your life means absolutely jack. Nothing. It means nothing at all. And once you realize this, you will be that much closer to success. That is the only thing that has made me a success in life and in business, is the fact that I did sell out. I did admit to myself personally that I know nothing. I know nothing about the internet, if that's what you're trying to do. And if you admit to yourself about any business, I know nothing about that business, and just go with the people that already know it. Why should I buck the system? Why should I go against X number of years worth of time to proven tested material? I shouldn't. That's ridiculous. To come into a new industry and try to change everything and think that I know more than all these people have done all the testing previous to me, that's ridiculous. That is business suicide. What you want to need to do is simply sell out to the system. After you become successful, that is when you start testing. Not before, not now, but after you have truly become successful, then start the testing. Then you can buck the system all you want, because money is not an issue at that point. You see, what I learned was this, is that some people say that money makes you materialistic. No, it's the lack of money that makes you materialistic. Do you understand that? You You know, I shop at Walmart. I shop at Target. I walk into Walmart. I walk into Target. I wear my baseball hat, my grubby T-shirt, and my sweatpants. Why? Because I don't... Okay, another word I haven't said online. I don't give a shit. I make a lot more than these people make in 10 years. That's not saying that to brag. That the point that I'm trying to make is I don't care anymore. I don't care what other people think about me. I don't care what I look like to these people out there. When you get to that level is after you bought your toys, after you've bought the car, after you've bought the watch, after you've bought the diamond ring, after you've bought the house. You know, I mentioned this on stage the other day, but I'm going to mention it again. You know, Curly said on the movie City Slickers, which obviously you can see is one of my favorite movies, he said that the secret to life is one. Well, you know, I explained it a different way the other day, but I'm going to explain it to you in a way this way that will make it much more clear for you. The secret to life is one. The secret to life is one. One payment. One payment for your house. One payment for your car. One payment for your credit cards, just to pay them off. One payment for the new suit. One payment for anything you want. One payment for this trip to Australia. One payment for everything. How much easier would life be if you lived on the one payment system? Could you do that? Would you like that? And if you'd like that, then do one thing and one thing only, and that is sell out, buy the book, download the book, Think and Grow Rich, read it, understand it, and start working on it today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Armin Lauren.
On North Carolina time, I think. Armand, I don't want to have to follow that, but I have amazing appreciation for something which you said there, which, as you said, people don't know. For me, it was the catalyst. It was what made the difference. When was I fed up? Very simply, as I've mentioned to a couple of folks here today, and I'm sure I can hold it together this time, because for the moment, it's very simple. For me, it was Christmas Eve, 1997, at St. Vincent de Paul, saying, I don't have food for my children. I don't have presents. And I've already cried a couple of times telling this story tonight, so I'll bypass that for the moment. But that was it. I was fed up. I said, I'm determined, I will not do this. How do I do this? At that time, I had no clue. But I did know one thing, and this is what I want you to take home. So, yeah, it's another one of those one things. It was very simply this. If somebody else can learn how to do this, so can I. We breathe the same air. You jump out the window, you go to the bottom just like I will. Armin may not, not sure. But the principles are the same. We're bound by the laws of gravity, by time, by all the rules of being human. If somebody else can learn to do this, so can I. That's the one thing that got me through my years until it worked. So take that one home with you as well. Thanks for coming, folks. It's wonderful.
Paul Barnes, thank you very much.
All right, folks, I'm going to cut this pretty short. But true story, if you go to my home in Singapore, and if you go to the toilet, right in the restroom, you'll find a dog-eared book called Think and Grow Rich. It's really dog-eared. It's mucked up. Some pages are missing, but it's there, and it's something that I've read, and it's something that that has touched my life, and this is something that I don't share with many people, but I used to study in the States 2 years ago. When I got there, I was pretty much ostracized because, you know, whether you like it or not, you know, sometimes racism does exist, and, you know, I had a pretty heavy Singaporean accent there. And people think that I was illiterate, I wouldn't be able to speak English. And people think, Chinese boy, don't know shit, right? And, well, I was studying business then, and I tried very hard to create an internet business, but I failed. It wasn't until 6 months later that I saw my first checks of a whopping $34.95, right? But Every night, I knew that the principles were sound. Every night before I lay my head on the bed, on a pillow, there's only one thought. I imagine myself on stage, with a suit, speaking to a large group of people. Chinese boy will be speaker one day. Right? This is the thought that appeared in my head all the time. And wasn't long before I came into contact with Ted. Ted, I owe all I have today to all the people who have shown me such great kindness, who have given me so much opportunities. And even these people were my heroes, and you know, I thought one day I would one day be alongside with my heroes, be a fellow speaker. And one day I actually had a conversation with Armand, even though it was a really short time. And in just half an hour, he shared with me something that had actually touched my life and changed the way I perceive things to be. And, well, things have changed then. And what I want to share with you guys is, you know, that little vision that you have at night. When you dream, don't let it die, because you never know when it's going to be a reality. And it doesn't matter what skin color you are, whether you speak English well or not, or whatever obstacles are in the way, if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. Thank you.
Johann Mark, the China boy makes good.
Thanks, Ted. You can get out of a lift if you hope. How I was held hostage with Chris Bloor and Peter Sun for 45 minutes and learnt nothing except getting a headache and sweating. Seriously, folks, I won't say too much because Armin said most of it. I started a job with Peter Sun, who's here tonight. Pardon me, sorry for my voice. And Peter's taught me a lot. I look at people like Mal Emery, and I mean, Mal's taught me a lot too, and I've talked to him quite a few times, and I respect these people. Pardon me, how can I put it? They're very, very smart people. And Paul, all these guys here. One thing I made a decision last year was to... When was it? November, Peter? I think it was November. November, October, whatever. To go to Tony Robbins in Sydney. And when I went there, I thought, the truth of the matter is, telling you really honest, I didn't even have enough money to get there, and Peter paid for me to go. Do you remember that, Peter? I mean, I was sitting there and I nearly cried. I thought, shit, I didn't even have enough money to go and have to ask my boss to pay for me, you know? And it nearly makes me cry now because I had no money. And I sat there and I asked my boss, can you pay for me to go and see Tony Robbins? And it is emotional for me to say it because people say to me when I get the seminar today, hey, you're a guru. I was a nobody, you know? I sat there and asked my boss to pay for me to go to a seminar. I ring Paul Bars, and he knows personal things that happened to me. You know, I had problems with my daughter. I went to court. I had to do a lot of things. I had nothing. You know? And I went to Tony Robbins, and I made a decision after I nearly burnt the shit out of my feet. That's called pattern interrupt, Armin. And the thing is, no, it's all right. I was only joking there. I just tried to break the pattern. And anyway, what happened, cut a long story short, I was having problems with my girlfriend. I said, I'll make a decision. I'll split up with her when I get home. For the best of both of us. Or make it up again and, you know, try for the best. Two, not take any more crap off my daughter, which none of us agree, but be there for her. And third thing, buy a new car. Which I thought, shit, how am I going to do that? Because my head gasket blew. Couldn't drive my car up the hill to Peter's new office. He paid $1.5 million for it, and I wasn't going to walk or whatever, you know. I didn't know what to do. And the fifth one was to make up a product to come here, and I had to get in touch with Armin Morin. Because, I mean, I thought to myself when I looked, I thought, shit, how am I going to do it on my own? So how many calls did you get, Armin? How many emails didn't you answer, Armin? Yeah, I know. Who'd you promote very strongly and proudly, Armin? Thank you. That's the story, and I've achieved all of them. Thanks.
David Kavanaugh. Now Mike Stewart.
I'm recording this speech, and the battery's about ready to run out, so I want to make sure I got on it. No, it's got plenty of juice. That was just... Okay, this is about Think and Grow Rich. I had a dear friend 25 years ago tell me, he says, if you want to make a business happen, he says, this is the book you got to read. I said, okay, what is it? He said, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I kept thinking about Napoleon Bonaparte. What a name. But I said, okay. So I went and bought the book, and I tried to read it. And like I said in my presentation, you know, it was just so out there. It just never resonated with me. And, you know, it was just 2 years ago, a little over 2.5 years ago, that I broke down and got the CDs and listened. And I loved listening to Napoleon's voice. And a hero of mine, which is an honest truth, is Thomas Edison. And there's so many correlations with Napoleon Hill and Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison invented the phonograph. And if there wasn't a phonograph, there wouldn't have been recording. If there wasn't recording, I wouldn't have been in recording. If there wasn't recording, there wouldn't have been Beatles. So, Thomas Edison, Napoleon Hill, so I started seeing all these correlations. And one of the things that I heard them say on the CDs is that no matter how, basically this was my interpretation, no matter how dumb you think it is, write down what you want to happen in your life. And it's not enough to say, I want money. Say, I want a fixed, specific. Be specific for what you're asking for. I didn't read it. I'm sure it's in the text. But when I heard it, I said, okay, this is really dumb. I'm going to write down what I want. And I've got it hanging above my mirror. And I was looking at it the other day. I'm amazed. In 18 months, pretty much everything I put on that paper has come to pass. So, I mean, it is powerful. And I just wanted to share that. And, you know, two things that really have changed my life is that when I never knew the term mastermind. And I got a tape series called the Mastermind Series. And the reason I got that tape series is because I thought, well, that must have something to do with Napoleon Hill because this stuff looks like it's working. And if it hadn't have been for getting that tape series, I would have never taken actions that would have led to a mastermind meeting that happened just 12 months ago when I met Armin Morin. And I went to a room in Tampa, Florida a year ago. And the only reason I told my wife we've got to go to this meeting is I said, well, it must be good because it's a mastermind meeting. I don't know what we're going to do. And I didn't know who was going to be in that room. But I got to go up and talk about, hey, microphones, the things I love. I didn't mention Beatles at that meeting, but, you know. But, you know, looking back on the Beatles, which, because I obviously love them so much, those guys were doing Napoleon Hill. They said, where are we going, Johnny? To the toppermost of the poppermost. And I think they did it, and that's what I'm doing, and I want to see that for all of you.
Mike Stewart. Hey, now I'm just going to interject. Of course, we have Brian Duffel who's coming up next. But whenever I was young, I used to hear these stories about these extravagantly rich people who they'd go into a restaurant after hours and they would just flip a few $100 at people and say, keep it open for me and my crowd. Guess what, folks? And I never expected to be here, but that's what we just did. Incredible! What you think manifests. Brian Duffel!
Here I am. I take the mic again. I relate, and this is really strange, back to when I was about 16 years old, and I relate to Ted and Armand as well. I brought Think and Grow Rich, and I read it, and I didn't do much with it. I put it aside. I was too young to learn anything from it at that stage, but I did read it. I came back in NZ. I came from a farming community and a horse industry, which Cambridge is one of the top horse racing industries back in NZ. My parents lived on a farm at that stage, and I was just a little farmer's boy. What physically happened is always, a sad story to an end story, I guess. My parents actually bet on horses and probably lost a lot of money as well. But we used to always go to the race day, and I saw these other kids at school with bicycles, really like, you know, with gears on them and nice big ape hangers and banana seats and stuff like that. My parents couldn't afford that because they bet on horses. So what I did was I went down to local stationery shops and I bought pencils. And while my parents were betting on horses, I'd go along and I'd snap the pencils in half and I would sell them for, like, you could buy a packet of pencils for 50 cents, I think it was at the time. But I'd snap them in half and sell them for 20 cents each to sharpen them up and sell them, because they used the betting cards and the guys would write down. And a lot of them didn't have a pen or a pencil on their pocket or whatever. So, as I say, I used to snap them in half and actually sell them to the people walking along. 20 cents, big deal. But, you know, when I think back, I read a lot of entrepreneur magazines. They come from the States. I looked at what the USA did, and I used a lot of their theories in probably developing my brain into doing something physical for myself. And as life went on, it's like, my parents lived in a rut, and maybe so did I. So I wanted to break that and get out of it. And I picked up books, I picked up magazines, I basically researched. And as time went by, I got myself in another rut, like working long hours and hard long hours. And to physically break away from that was a big decision. And it just takes guts and something else to walk outside your comfort zone to do something. So I guess if I had to say anything to anybody, it's take what you got. When you walk away from here, open the door and physically do something. Because if you don't, you've lost it all. You missed the boat completely. Thank you.
Peterson!
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ted. But I actually, what Ted said is true. You know, many years ago, when I was first starting out, my mind was a bit of a mess, and so was my life, because it goes with your mind. And I actually remember writing down in a little, you know, on a piece of paper what I would have liked my ideal life to look like. And I actually went and I read it every single morning and every night for 4 months. And I even recorded it on a tape with some relaxation music, and I listened to it every day, every morning and every night, and I would rewrite it out as well. And I did that for about 4 months until my mind actually really saw this new life that I wanted to be living. And at the time, I was living in a house that was near the beach but had no furniture, and I literally couldn't buy food for what was then our first baby. And I put down that I was earning $10,000 a week, I think it was, and that I was one of Australia's best marketing minds. And, you know, and I was living in this house surrounded by trees and big windows, and I was driving a silver Mercedes-Benz with a blue interior. And, you know, I woke up 3 years later, and everything that I had on the list, I actually achieved. In fact, 3 years from that moment, and I was literally on the dole when I wrote it, I was earning $20,000 a week, and my business had never really made less than that since then. So it does work. And in fact, I was saying to Brett that one of my other goals was to actually earn $100,000 in a week. And I came close a couple of times, and then there was 1 week that I actually earned $103,000. I banked $103,000. And it took me 3 years to do it again. And then it actually just happened, and last year we were almost doing that every week, and my next goal was to actually do like $1 million in a year, and that also came true. But I was asking Brett, I was saying, well, I visualized that, but I didn't visualize my wife leaving me and taking all my money. So how does that work? So sometimes you can also get things you don't want, but and I say that in jest, you know, I have no regrets to whatever's happened. But it really does work, and if you really focus, because it's funny, you know, for whatever I had to give away, you know, if you focus on where you are, it's funny, once you've made it once, it's actually easy to do it again. It's just doing it the first time. Anyone that's ever done anything like this will tell you that the first time you make like $10,000 in a week, your life will never go to the old life again, because once you've tasted that, it's like you think, my God, you know, I still remember that, you know, when I did a mailing on in a letter, it was probably 1995 it was, and I banked like $50,000 in a month. And at the time, I had like probably $2,000 in my bank account that was left. And that's what changed my life. After that, I thought, well, I know that this stuff really works, and mail order works. And that's pretty much my story. So, thank you. I keep it.
Peterson, I don't know, Peter. I don't think you need a U.S. $100 greenback, but we're going to have to figure out somebody who might. I mean, well, except for Margaret Berman is not eligible for this, but somebody else might get it, okay? Now, we have another personality, and we've got a couple others who haven't come up, which I will call. You obviously know I am going to call Tom Hua and Brett McMahon.
Amazingly, I never read this book. What the name is the book? Think and Grow Rich. I never read the book, but I never stopped thinking of getting rich. Not only that, I had only $300 in my pocket when I came to this country. I had to sleep on newspaper for 6 months. And the first night, I didn't have anywhere to go. Enough of the sad story. Just tell you what I do now. A couple of months ago, I received a couple of mailings, I guess, from Mary Emily, perhaps Peter and Peterson, with $1 million note in. Now, I think also has Ed Burton's picture in the mail. I didn't read anything about the letter. What I did, I stick one, because I received two of them, I stick one on the wall directly above my monitor in my office. And I kept the other one in my diary as bookmark. Stay focused. I believe one of the reasons why I made it was that I wanted it so badly, and I still want it. And I want you to do the same. Thank you.
Mal Liberty.
Well, I'm accustomed to public speaking as I am. But quite seriously, that's the truth. I've been sitting there hoping like bloody hell Ted wouldn't spot me and ask me to come up. Believe it or not. So most of you know my story, and that is that, you know, I don't like standing on my feet and telling my story. And it would seem that that's not left me. So I was quite happy to stay where I was and not stand up. But at the same token, I've forced myself to do what I'm uncomfortable with, because I believe I've got something that's worth sharing. I believe I've got something that can help a lot of people. I think I've proved it in some arenas. And I couldn't help but sit there and also think how guilty I felt listening to all the other speakers, or at least some of the other speakers that got up this evening and said. And my guilt came from the fact that, one, that I get paid to do something that I love, and that is teach people to be great marketers. So it's always great to get paid for something you do love. Secondly, I felt terribly guilty because I didn't have a story about going broke. And there was some guilt that came up for me as well there. So thirdly, I suppose the other one I had was that I hadn't read a book until I was 41. So you can understand that I had been tremendously successful in my chosen field, if you like, without having actually read a book, or having the information or knowledge given to me or preordained upon me in some way, shape or form. So I've often reflected on this as to why that I was able to achieve these outcomes. And when I consider that it was at my, you know, around about when I turned 41,
that I started to understand what I was doing in business, that I'd never put what I call the context around the content of what I was doing. And things like unique selling propositions became suddenly obvious to me, that I always asked myself how I can get people to shop with me in my little business in some way, shape or form as opposed to everybody else. I was merely giving my clients a reason to choose me as opposed to my competitor. In other words, today it's, you know, getting your share of the marketplace, or preferably a disproportionate share of the marketplace. So I could stand here before you quite clearly and articulate, I suppose, where I've been able to achieve a certain outcome based on the principles and the laws and the information that I've gone on to learn in the last 11 years. And then when I think about Think and Grow Rich, and which I haven't read very well, I must add, but I have been able to reflect on a component of what I believe has been the single factor that's allowed someone with my style of upbringing and processes that I've endured, I suppose, and that is something I call accurate thinking. So it's no accident when I did flick through Think and Grow Rich that one of his laws is accurate thinking. And this is the one that disturbs me the most when I look around the marketplace. A lot of people come to me, and people like me, when they've made their mistakes. And I find this a frustration. I don't see that there is any reason to go broke. There is any reason to be necessarily, it has to be a prerequisite to one's success, that we have to first fail before we can enjoy success in our lives. And it concerns me that you may think that you need to first be a bloody disaster area before you can enjoy success in your life. I don't accept that. I won't accept that, and I'm not prepared to buy into it. Not for you, not for me or anybody else. I'm not saying you can totally avoid it necessarily. We all get our own forms of Mack trucks that are delivered to us in our lives in one form or another. We'll either take a choice to listen to the universe, or we'll take make a decision, or that the time wasn't quite right, maybe, when the universe delivered its message to you. In my own case, every time I ignored the universe, it gave me another opportunity to listen to it. And hopefully I have. So, clearly, the video that I played, or the DVD that we put together not very shortly before we came away, that was all a bit of a joke. We all remember the video with Chris that he kindly agreed to do for me. And I do need to thank Chris for his ability to attribute success, which I think is another example of one's quality of individual, and how one shouldn't buy into people who don't have that ability. Chris made the comment that I maintain that I'm only a custodian of the knowledge, and I firmly believe that. I'm just a bloody good copier and a bloody good plagiarizer, and one who prefers to improve upon what already is successful. And I suppose the operative word there is improve upon what already is working. So at the end of that little clip that we played the other day, that was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it. It made me laugh. I hope it made you laugh, but there was a lot of messages in that thing. But the final piece of wording on that DVD was this. And it's very much about Napoleon Hill, although I may not have understood it. And it says this. Success doesn't come the way you think it does. It comes the way you think. And if I can break my own process down to any one single factor, I think it's been my ability to think accurately. And that's what Napoleon Hill speaks of, accurate thinking. And I think that's the one attribute that has kept me, I suppose, out of bother. I've been able to see what needs to be done, or ask myself the right questions. What has often concerned me and bothered me, if you like, it's been the fact that most people ask none, or precious little. Yet the blunt truth is, if you ask none, you never know the answers. any answers, right or wrong. If you ask the wrong questions, you get the wrong answers. So it's absolutely imperative that your accuracy of thinking in terms of the questions you ask and the people you ask those questions of is enormously accurate also. And finally, it's the ability to ask the right questions. And that's why when I first got on my feet over the weekend, the first thing I asked everyone to do was to make an aha list. Because I'm a great believer in one tapping into one's intuition. My intuition has never, ever, ever in my life let me down. So I know that when I'm sitting in a seminar just like you folks are, and you come there with a result and a desire and a want that you want out of it, I know that when you sit there and suddenly a speaker says something in a way, maybe that you've heard it before, but it's said in a different environment with a different group of people, but suddenly it resonates in some way with you where it never would have or could have before, but you were somehow a more a receiving station of that information. And that you write it down on that to-do list, that aha list more importantly. That is a defining moment in your process. Whether you choose to recognise it or understand it is an issue we'll never be able to deal with. The 5% factor has always been another one that bothers me. When I read that, I was absolutely horrified. I thought, no, I can't accept that. I can't accept that only 5% of people can be successful. Only 5% of people can own all the wealth. Only 5% of people can have all the things they want in life. So I tried to change the world around about 6 or 7 years ago. What I have learnt is that it is impossible to change the world. You can only influence people who want to be influenced at a point in time when they want to be influenced. So it's no accident that one of my laws of business and one of my laws of life is timing. You know, timing is absolutely necessary for you to be in a place and in time when you are going to hear that, whatever that aha is, and it will resonate with you and you'll act upon it. So I hope that everyone in the room has got a pretty full aha list. And I hope you're going to go back and number them in order of their importance to you. I hope you're going to put the number one most important thing on top of the page, the 30-day to-do list, and you're going to go to work on that, working back from day one, and to actually see a result from this seminar when we know that 95% of people will not. That is a tool that you can use, and it's a tool that will work for you. I want you to know that you don't have to go broke before you can be successful. That isn't necessary. However, you may choose to wait until it does before you act. If so, it's going to be the universe giving you hints. The universe will sometimes give you little baby hints, a bit like your children looking for their Easter eggs on Easter Sunday. You know, cold, freezing. Warm. You're getting warmer, sweetheart. Come on, darling. That's hotter. Yippee. Hooray. You've found the Easter eggs fantastic and the smiling, beautiful faces back at you. However, if you choose to ignore the universe may well pick up a piece of 4x2 and crack you over the skull with it. That's also possible. I would ask you to dig the well before you're thirsty, not after you become thirsty.
Well, we have seen more than one instance of good humor this evening. I tell you what, folks, you know, there's an expression we've all heard, we've saved the best till last. And in a way, I have an aversion to that. In a way, it's absolutely true. Your co-host, your co-originator for this event, who has actually a special event for you tonight, help me welcome Mr. Brett McFarr.
Guys, I don't know what I have to tell you. I haven't read the book. I don't have a sob story to tell you. I don't even have written goals. But I was asked over here just about half an hour ago that one thing has made me successful, and I don't see myself as successful. I just see myself being successful. I don't see myself as having made it. And I simply, when he said it's a really big question, I had to really think about it. And all I know is that about 4 years ago is that I started getting honest with myself, and I started listening to my conscience. I used to wake up in the morning and not feel happy with who I saw in the mirror. I used to go to work every day, not 100% love what I did. And I knew something was wrong. And I wasn't doing what I really wanted to do. I wasn't saying the things I really wanted to say. And my life now is the exact opposite. 15 months ago, I met Ted and asked him the question whether he'd come to Australia. It's not you. And some of the best marketing minds in the country are here. If I can give you anything, there is something inside all of you, and it's the principles, folks. It's your conscience inside of you. If you're not doing what you really want to do, if you're not behaving the way you really want to behave, you know that. And I started following principles, and I started living according to my conscience. As I said, I haven't done anything like you guys have done. I had a plan. I haven't got a step-by-step anything. But when you live by your conscience, folks, suddenly you get courage and you start making plans, you start making suggestions. And doing the things that I'm doing today is all a result of that. It's as simple as that. And I want to know, are you living according to your conscience? Are you? Are you doing the things you want to do? Are you doing them right? Could you stand up here and honestly talk to people and tell them who you are and what you do? Are you proud of yourself? Because I think if you get that right, folks, all the rest just falls into place. I want to ask you something. We've talked about, I say if you live by your principles, you're going to have courage. Let's have a test. Who here has the courage to step up and take this $100 bill? Good luck to you, my friend. You took action. You made a decision. Good on you.
Brad McFall. And I'll tell you, folks, what a fitting conclusion. Would you come? Could you come up to the mic? And I want you to tell everybody your name.
I'm John Perks.
And why did you jump up there?
That's where I'm going.
What does that mean to you?
That means a start.
All right. Thanks, John Perks. All right.
Ted, please go and sit down. Please go and sit down.
Looks like I better go sit down.
Yeah. I guess what we really want to say is if it wasn't for Ted, Tom Hur, and Brett, you know, all those guys wouldn't be here tonight. So I guess it's like this is a wowee factor for me and for the rest of the speakers that were here that if we could just put our hands together and clap and thank you for being here.
Okay, folks, we are concluding for double definitely the inaugural World Internet Summit.
I tell you what, you have participated in a historical event. And I'm not talking about, because you actually don't care about a historical event that is going to make Tom and Brett and Ted millions of dollars over the next couple of years. By the way, do you think that's what we intended? Do you think that's what we were thinking in growing rich?
Yeah.
But that's not the point. By the way, thank you very much for all the money you gave us this weekend. But did we deliver the value to you? What it is, folks, is you've heard it again and again. We delivered value. Napoleon Hill says the only way you can ever get rich is by delivering value. You have got not one secret, not two secrets, not 20, not 100, but literally, if you will add up what's come up over the last couple of weeks, thousands of secrets. And so, all that remains now is that you will believe what others before you who are certifiably successful have done and are telling you, and some have been failures, such as myself. Some have never been failures, such as Mal. But I tell you, it doesn't really matter. Because if you think you can, you can. If you think you can, you can. Yes! 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 On behalf of hosts of the World Internet Summit, thank you very much, and think and grow rich!
Of your dreams. This is your place.
World Internet Summit.
It's your space.
So take something from it.
It's your dream. Your dreams will come true. This is your life. The whole world is waiting for you. This is your time.
World Internet Summit.
It's your life.
So make something of it.
It's your dream, the answer's in you. This is your life, the whole world is waiting for you. This is your time,
World Internet Summit.
It's your life,
so make something of it.
It's your dream, the answer's in you. This is your life, the whole world is waiting for you.